This is Studio B Live. I'm David Burns, and it's good to be back with everyone today, and along with my wife, Sherry. Say hello, Sherry.
Hello, and I hope everyone had a good Christmas.
Yeah, and a happy new year, and we hope that Sherry has a happy birthday today. We're actually recording this on Sherry's birthday, her 21st birthday.
Yeah, I wish it was my 21st birthday. I guess, though, in the future, people won't necessarily be listening to this after Christmas, though, will they? This particular recording, you can just click on any of them, right? And it doesn't matter. They stay on forever. So
yeah.
So if you're listening to this in July, we recorded it right after Christmas, so that's why we're saying that. So
yeah.
That can only mean one thing. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're about to have our bee package season opener here.
We are. We're really gearing up for Friday, aren't we? Or Monday.
I can see everybody on the edge of their seat. They're like, I was going to call Monday. Now it's Friday? What's going on?
No, it's Monday. My fault. It's Monday. We're charging our batteries on our phones and getting everything ready. And we do know that, unfortunately, you're going to probably get a busy signal. And if you do, just be patient. We'll try to get, you know, take orders as fast as we can. If it's busy, just keep calling. Trying again, because they will get a busy signal, Sherry.
Yeah, and tell them what time zone we're in.
Yeah, right. That has been a problem in the past. I mean, I usually get up pretty early, but I know during the bee season, people will call sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning to buy a hive or something.
Oh, I felt so sorry last year for this lady that she called, oh, my goodness, honey, it had to have been 5:30 to 5:45, and she got me in. Sometimes if you wake me up right while I'm really sleeping deep, I have no clue where I'm at or what's going on. And I knew she was just thinking, my goodness, who is this lady on the phone? And I don't think she ever did order any bees. I think that was probably it for her.
You don't remember what you said to her, do you? Well, the funniest one was, it was shortly after we really kind of started our business, maybe 3 years ago or something, and a guy called up. I'm sitting here sleeping in the middle of the night. Remember that? And the phone rang at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, yeah, is this Long Lane Honeybee Farms? And I, first thing I said was, I didn't say, yeah, what? I said, what time is it? He's like, oh, let's see, it's 1 o'clock. And I'm like, wow, you know, what's the matter? What do you need? And he's like, well, I just want to know if you had any honey. And after I talked with him a little bit, I kind of got a little agitated because I could tell he was drunk. And I don't know where in the world he found one of my pens or a magnet at a bar or something. And, you know, he's sitting there. And I said, well, why in the world would you call me at 1 in the morning to order honey? Well, I'm sitting there looking at your pen, and I see your number on there. I thought I'd call you about getting some honey. I'm like, mister, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I've been asleep. You need to call back during business hours. Kind of just hung up on him, I think. And I don't know if he ever called back. At least he was sober and respectable enough if he ever did come by. I didn't know it was him the first time. But that was bad. We get a lot of calls. Not a lot, but we get some calls in the middle of the night because we do a lot of work in Africa. And so they'll call us, you know, when it's 3 in the afternoon for them or however that works. You know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning here. So we're kind of accustomed to that. But not a lot of bee orders early in the morning.
So did you tell him what time zone we're in?
No, we didn't. Well, it's not Eastern or Pacific or Mountain Time, so it leaves Central Time.
Central Time.
So when you call in, what time are you wanting to start taking calls, Sherry?
We're open for business from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. However, if you call after 5, that's okay. We're usually home. Somebody usually pick up the phone. That's not a problem because I know some people can't call while they're actually at work. That's not a big deal. Just don't be bothered, you know, if no one does pick up the phone because we might have gone somewhere.
Or be eating supper.
Be eating supper or at a meeting or something like that, just like everybody else. So, and usually you can get us on Saturdays too, although we're in and out. Like today, you know, I was at the store and you were out chopping wood in the woods and hauling wood in, so we don't necessarily stand by the phone during the weekend.
Well, that's true. In evenings, you know, we try to. I know in the past that it was really bad because we got a lot of phone calls after hours, and we don't, like I said, don't mind that except when we are trying to maybe eat supper or watch a movie or something, kind of relax after working all day long. But certainly we'll accommodate you as best as we can because we want to help you secure that package of bees so that you can be sure to get that order in and look forward to the bees coming. So we're in Central Time on Monday. Call us 8 to 5 Central Time. And again, if it's busy, don't get frustrated. We want to make sure we take your order. Just be patient and keep trying to call back. And we'll take your order as soon as we can. And we'll have fun on Monday. And I'm going to be producing, Sherry, tomorrow, an actual lesson on packages and bees. And I want people to know a little bit about shipping costs, the price of packages, and pickup dates and all that. And pickup dates are still up in the air. We really don't know pickup dates. I mean, it's just too early because we don't know when our provider will bring them to us. I meet him, you know, near a large city near here where we do a little transfer so he didn't have to get off the beaten path as he continues on. But I don't know what date that's going to be. Sometime in April.
Yeah, it's usually the third or the fourth weekend in April. And last year he actually had to change it because it seems to me that the weather got really, really
rainy,
cold and rainy, yeah. And you can't shake bees in that kind of weather. So we had to wait an additional week. And those were the bees that you pick up here on the farm. And there wasn't a soul last year that was going to pick up bees that had a problem with that, just as long as everyone's aware that's the way it goes when it comes to livestock. You just can't necessarily pinpoint exactly, you know, what day it's going to ship out, but we give an approximate date. And it's usually the third or fourth weekend that you pick up, and then we think the pickup date or the ship date for the people who need them shipped will be sometime in the last week in April.
Yeah, that's good. I think we jumped into the business stuff too quick. We haven't had a podcast for a while. And people are probably either catching up, you know, listening to all the ones we produced early on, or people are really, you know, mouth-watering, waiting to hear the next podcast, one of those two groups. Or there could be people that are celebrating that we haven't done one for a while. But at any rate, I was trying to figure out what the best explanation for that lag, is that the right word? The lapse, I guess is a good word, lapse, between this one and our last one. And the best explanation is the holiday season's hit.
Yeah. Oh,
and, you know, we probably really intended to keep things going, but in reality, there was just so many holiday experiences going on. And there was, you know, there were holiday dates and vacations, and, you know, we were doing things out of the ordinary. Plus, there was that one week that we all got terribly sick. I really do think it was from a restaurant that we ate at because they were... Our entire family and my son and his fiance, who live, you know, 40 miles away, they were eating with us. And but I guess you can get the flu, but we all got sick the next day at the exact same time. I called the public health department to see if that restaurant had reported any other sicknesses. They didn't, but I had never been that sick in my life. It was awful. Even little Christian was sick. But anyway, we had a lot of things go on and... Good things, other than being sick those few days. But, you know, we had a lot of activities that we were having fun with. And every day I intended to make a podcast, but it just never worked out. And it was just like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. But I think now that we're back in the saddle, back in the pocket, we'll stay back on it. We have I've done a ton of recordings. I mean, we have so much recordings. It was just a matter of putting things together and putting the podcast out there. But more and more people tell us they like it. And, we've had a lot of visitors who came by recently to buy hives. And in fact, I was telling Sherry today, it was funny, the last two visitors that have come by to buy hives, have driven up in these little bitty fuel economy Volkswagen cars, you know. I've been amazed, though. They open the back and they let some seats down. Boy, they pack all the supplies in there, and so they're ready. But we've had a good time. It's been fun. We've been really producing hives, a lot of hives, a lot of hive buildings going. So that's gone real well, Sherry. I had to change a whole bunch of blades the other day. In fact, we have one machine that cuts the handles on the hives and cuts the side joints for the bottom boards and a few other things. And I have ran those blades. It's a big 3/4-inch blade, you know. And we've ran that for, I think, well over a year without changing it. And it was needing changed. And so we've had a busy last couple of weeks.
We sure have.
And we had Christmas, and we had your birthday today. And, hey, you got some birthday acknowledgments from people on email. I sent them to you. All the way from Steinar. Where does he live? Switzerland?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's nice. And then I found out Carl Miller called in an order last week. He's one of our original customers, and his birthday's the same day, so he wished me happy birthday. And Tom was in earlier today to buy a hive, and he wished me a happy birthday. So, Yeah, I've had a lot of people.
I think it's because in the few broadcasts back, we mentioned your birthday was January the 3rd. So it seems only appropriate that I would mention that mine is in January, too.
Yeah.
What? I don't get the same kind of coverage that you got? Come on.
Coverage. Okay, everybody, David's birthday is January 20th. Now, who wants to guess how old he is?
Yeah, that's Central Time, too. I don't want you to wait around and miss it.
Well,
nobody guessed your age.
I think you're the same age no matter what time zone you're in.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody had to guess your age.
Well, you know, you already told him I was 21.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm 2 years older than Sherry is.
So you're 23.
Yeah. I won't tell you how old I was, but I was born in 1960. I just gave your age away, Sherry.
Whatever.
All right. So back to business then. We enjoy us being a little personal with you and getting to know you and you getting to know us.
But okay. So I'll get you back on business here. So when people call in to order their bees, they're going to get a 3-pound package. And that, of course, has more bees in it than 3 pounds because, you know, some of them die, you know, during shipment. And that comes with an Italian queen, and we always mark her. Do you know why?
Me or the audience?
You. I see no audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the people can find her better.
I have never, ever, ever, ever found a queen unless she's been marked. And most of our customers, I think, are new, and that they very much appreciate the fact that they're marked. And then, of course, those of us who have failing eyesight, which is me included, we need to have them marked also. And it's so much nicer, mm-hmm. you know, if you can have a marked queen. So what color do we mark it in 2009?
Oh, it should be green, unless somebody runs out of green paint and they want to use white, I guess. But typically, for this year, it's supposed to be by the International Code of Color code for queens, it should be green, fluorescent color green. And it's funny about finding queens. I've talked to my bees, although they can't hear, they can sense vibration. And I'll say, okay, I'm here in your behalf. I'm helping you out. We have lots of good things to do today. And one of the things is I need you to present your queen to me. I talk to them. I know that sounds kind of silly. I know it really didn't work, but it seems like at times it does help me find the queen a little better. If you talk to them. People talk to dogs, and dogs respond. Come on.
Okay, David. But, you know, one year we had somebody who called us who got their packages from somewhere else who shall remain nameless because I don't know who it is. And when they opened up the queen, she was the wrong color.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's happened to me several times. And I don't know what to think about that. Except, you know, I've been told that that's the only bucket of paint I had sitting around, or it especially bothers me when I get nooks from someone else and they think I don't know the color code, and I can tell it's last year's queen, which may not be real bad if they requeened in September, you know. If you stop and think about that, Sherry, if you requeened in September, like this year, you're going to have a red queen. She really is the best. Well, I mean, a green queen's good because she's a new queen, but I'm saying if you have a red queen that was, you know, September queen, she's going to be very young in the start of the spring.
Right, but you would only assume that would be true in a nook. You would not see a queen from a prior year in a package, a new package that's coming.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, if you get a package of bees and it's got a red queen in it or a white one, it's a real old queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, someone's trying to pass off old bees. And our bees are, you know, brand spanking new.
Well, and true, there are those that get a little greedy and they do bad things with marking their queens. But see, they can still take old queens and mark them a new color and fool you.
Well, over the top of the yellow color, then it would turn an entirely different color.
Well, you know what I've been...
you know, like blue and yellow make green, you know?
Yeah, I've been told, blue and yellow, green and yellow make blue. I think you said that wrong.
Did I?
I think so, but I'm not sure. No, but I've been told that the way some of these people work is they just wait until their old queens and their own hives get a year or two old. They don't mark them, and then they mark them and sell them to you as old queens. And, you know, you hope that doesn't happen, but let's face it, there's some greedy people out there that try to do things that nobody else really. And how do you check the age of a queen, right? You don't really know. Mm-hmm. But that's why we try to, we are honest, and we try to do the best we can to get you the youngest queens and the best bees. We try to make sure that you don't get a lot of drones old bees or drones. You get more nurse bees in your packages, so you'd be real, our customers are real pleased.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't want a whole package of drones. What good would that do you?
Oh, for me, in the spring, it'd be great, because I'm raising queens.
Well, drones. Other than a queen breeder, yeah. But I don't think anybody else would want a package full of drones.
No, they don't. So, Central Time, 8 to 5, call us Monday, get a 3-pound plentiful supply of bees and a green-marked Italian queen, and we're going to ship them out to you sometime in April, at the latest, probably the first week in May, if the weather gets horrible. And how in the world, Sherry, do people figure out what to pay? Because number one question regarding shipment is, how much does it cost to ship me a package to this zip code?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always the number one question. And I'll just run through it real quick, but you don't know what zone you are unless you call in and find out. So what you'll do is when you call in, you'll give us your zip code. We'll look up your zone. If you're in zone 1, 2, 3, or 4, well, let me back up. If you're in zone 1, 2, or 3, then with shipping, the total price of a 3-pound package with a marked queen is $82. Now, we've been checking around, and that is a better price than you're going to get at some of the biggest beekeeping supply places out there. So that is a really good price. If you're in zone 4, it's $85. Now, those are the four zones that are insured.
Through the Postal Service.
Through the Postal Service. So what happens is if you go there and for some reason all your bees are dead, you actually, before you remove them from the post office, you ask them to fill out one of their insurance claim forms. I think it's like
form 1000.
Yeah. And you've got to fill that out. Don't take those out of the post office and then come back later, because that's a no-no. You can't. You've got to show them right then and there that those are dead. But those are insured. Now, if you live in zone 5, 6, 7, or 8, you're not insured, which is too bad.
We do have a nice little policy, and that is that since you're not insured, we're willing to take a chance with you. And we will ship you your bees, and if they arrive dead, we'll replace them free one time. And this is going to sound terrible, but we really are treated well with our customers about that. Nobody takes advantage of that. But we think we did have a customer or two last year that did take advantage of that, because they kind of slipped in their conversation and said that they died. But then when I replaced it, they said they went ahead and put that first package in a hive, and that's really not fair, you know. You know, if they died, be honest, and we'll be as honest as you are. We'll send you a new package, but don't tell us they died and try to hive it just to get a free one. That doesn't help people run a business.
Yeah, when they come, there will always be some dead on the bottom because, you know, shipping in the postal service is going to kill some of them. But also, bees only live so long, and some of them might be ready to pass on at the time they're being shipped. Yeah. So you're going to have some deadage in the bottom, and some people will actually see any deadage in the bottom as a sign that there's something wrong, and that's simply not true. There's nothing wrong with them. So we're talking, you know, you want to make a claim if there's more than like an inch of dead bees at the bottom. And remember, they fill the packages with more than 3 pounds to accommodate the fact that some of them are going to die. But, you know, so the zones that are not insured is zone 5, 6, 7, and 8. In zone 5 and 6, the cost with shipping, and this is a marked queen. I always say that, David, because if you look in the fine print on some advertisements,
it's $250, isn't it?
It costs extra to have them marked, and we just don't see any reason to send out bees, you know, that aren't marked, queens that aren't marked at all. So to zone 5 and 6, it's $88. That's with shipping and a marked queen. To zone 7 and 8, it's $91. Now, what we'll probably do, though, if you're in zone 5, 6, 7, or 8, is we'll probably see if you're willing to ship them UPS. Because it's not, I don't think it's insured UPS either, uh-uh, but you'll get them quicker. And so that's always a plus. And I think it's maybe $10 more to ship UPS. So you have to think about that, too. If you wait until after April 1st to order, it's $99.
So what do you mean by that? You're going to go ahead and just only ship out UPS after April 1st?
No.
That zone, you mean?
Yeah, zone 5, 6, 7, and 8, we might ask you to consider shipping UPS. But I'm just saying for all zones, April 1st, if you wait that long, that the price goes up to $99, because then we're scurrying and hurrying trying to get, you know, the rest of those packages done. So we want everybody to order their bees in January and February. But you know something that people oftentimes don't think of when they're ordering their bees?
Well, I do.
What is it?
Well, they don't think about buying their hive equipment first.
Well, you know, I think they get they hear, oh, I've got to do that January 1st, and then, you know, maybe there's a money situation, because sometimes people have to save up their money and that sort of stuff, and maybe they don't have their money, you know, ready to buy a hive until like March. But you know what, you're pushing it then, because unfortunately, by the time we get to about March, you know, we're about 3 weeks out on sending hives, and then all of a sudden everybody around here is going crazy, going, oh my gosh, are we going to get their hive to them before their bees? So you really have to think of your beehives. You got to think of that stuff first,
you know. And actually, Sherry, and I won't mention any names, but there was a couple of large, huge bee supply manufacturing companies who we had customers calling us saying, can you send me a hive? My bees are coming, and I've tried these bigger companies, and they're behind. They can't get it to me for like a month. And so we were able sometimes, you know, we can do better than a month. I think the longest that we're behind is like 2 weeks in the busy season. That's still a long time if your bees are coming. You can't wait 2 weeks. If your bees are coming, you can't wait 2 days. You got to have your hive ready to receive your bees. And so I never thought of it like you're saying, but I think that's right. Some people probably think, okay, I'll buy the bees in January, and then I'll buy my hives in February or March. But then, you know, things come up and people are calling us in April, the end of April, saying, but I need my hives. So we'll try to remind people when they call in to make sure they have their hives purchased.
Yeah, another thing is, we do have a lot of stuff here in stock, but at that time of year, everything goes out the door as fast as it's ordered. So unfortunately, some people think, well, I'll just show up and pick up my bees and I'll grab a hive while I'm there. But so if you need to have hives and equipment here ready for you to pick up the day that you pick up your bees, then that has to be pre-ordered also.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I want to talk for a second about installation and where they get instructions for installation, but then I want you to talk about the different kind of queens, because folks will always ask what kind of a queen we have in the packages, and so you can talk to us a minute about the different queens and why we choose the one that we have in the packages, and then also if they need queens later on in the year. But I wanted to talk a minute about installation. You'll get installation instructions in the mail after you place your order, which, by the way, when you call, you need to call with a credit card number, or you can send check or money order within 2 weeks. Somebody called and asked that question today. They didn't understand that. Okay, so you will get instructions in the mail on installation, but you know what? There is lots of lessons online that you have written, David, and I know most people who listen to the podcast know this, but I just wanted to go over really quickly on how you get to those. But if you go to the website, which of course is honeybeesonline.com, there is a section there where you can, a little bar where you can hit basic beekeeping lessons. And these are all lessons that David has written. He's written them over the past year or so. He spent a lot of time writing these lessons. So really, you know, you folks really need to go through there, and you need to read all that, because almost all your questions you have ever had in your entire life will be answered right there in all of those lessons. But after you hit basic beekeeping questions, you know you can sort those. You can sort them by lesson numbers, or you can sort them by lesson subject. And so if you wanted to do lesson subject, for instance, you could go to bees. And lesson number 7 is how to install a package of bees. It's all right there online. If you just knew the lesson, and I'm going to give you the lesson numbers. For instance, if I said to you, oh, it's lesson 7 online at honeybeesonline.com, then you could just hit lesson number, and then all the numbers come up, and you can hit the actual number to go to that. So one lesson is lesson 7, which is how to install a package of bees. There's another lesson, number 32, package bees in bad weather, what to do? Because some folks do get them, and it's cold outside, or it's
rainy,
and so they're like, oh my gosh, what do I do with them? So you can go to lesson number 32 and look at that. Number 24, spring management and preparation of package bees. Is that another good one?
Mm-hmm.
So there's several on there that you need to look at. You can also access those by going to basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. And when you go to that, his latest lesson comes up. But on the right-hand side, all those lessons are listed, and the titles for all those lessons are listed, and you can hit those over on the side.
Almost all of them. You know, the ones that are listed on the side, the way this works is I had to put those links there, and I've only put links up to 38.
Well, how many
behind.
Lessons do you have?
I think I did 44 now last week. I'm 6 behind over there.
That's not bad.
No, if you go to lesson number 38 and open that up, at the bottom it will say newer posts or older posts. So if you're on the last lesson, number 38, that you clicked on, you can just click on newer posts, and it'll take you to 39.
Yeah, it'd be at the top anyway, right? Your last 6 lessons will be the first 6 lessons.
Well, it won't be the
at
first.
At
it'll be the first. Oh, I think that's right. Maybe it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It puts them all together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
The latest blog is the first thing that you see.
The newest, yeah.
The newest blog, the latest blog is the first thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, latest as in, you know, I did
most
this.
Recent.
Yeah, most recent is always the first thing that you see. So they'll be there anyway. So you could go over to the right-hand side and click anything that's older than that. But those would be 3 that you really want to catch up on, those 3. But that's a real easy way to get any of your basic beekeeping lessons. And during this season, it's harder for us to get to the phone and answer questions, although we will be glad to, but really, I think folks don't need to be too worried about trying to get to the phone and asking a question if they go through the lessons, because the answer is probably right there, and then they won't have to worry about getting us on the phone.
Well, we've been thinking about how's a nice way to say, before you ask a B question, see if you can find it on the lessons. And that sounds rude, you know, we don't want to talk to you. And it's not that we don't want to talk to you, but we want to make sure. I'm trying to answer questions for the biggest part of the population that are looking into beekeeping, and so that's why the lessons are there. But I have so many people who do read the lessons, they listen to the podcast. In my lessons, I say, you know, like I may say, I'm getting too in-depth there. I may say, our packages come with a 3-pound, you know, bees and a March Italian queen. This year it's green. I may say that on the podcast. I may say it in my lessons. But then somebody will read the lesson and listen to the podcast and ask me how many pounds in a package and what color is it.
Well,
now that's
a good question, because you can get them in other poundages. But we don't sell them that way, because it doesn't...
Well, I know.
You know, we only sell 3 pounds.
I'm saying if I did answer it three
yeah.
pounds.
I'm just, I know, but I'm just yeah. saying that folks have a really good reason for asking, you know, can you get a 2-pound package or can you get a 4-pound package?
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of that way too, because I can read all the literature, but I still want to talk to somebody and ask my question specifically to them, even though they answered it. I'm kind of weird that way too. I mean, you know, so we'll try to do the best we can in answering your questions. We're just encouraging you, do your best to read through the lessons and try to see if that doesn't answer all your questions. And if you're still stumped, or if I didn't answer it, you know, to your satisfaction, by all means, call us and we'll talk to you.
Okay, well, now, people always want to know what kind of queen is in those packages. And the answer to that is?
Italian.
Why?
Well, the Italian is the old standby. She is the pretty fast one to get going in the spring. And she has typically been thought of as a gentle queen with pretty good honey production.
Yeah, Italian ones, if you're looking for honey, Italian ones are the ones to buy.
Yeah, although I'm partial to Carniolans, too, and Carniolans are neck-to-neck, I think. Although on the charts, Italians may have them beat a little bit. But if you put an Italian and a Carniolan side-by-side, one year the Italian may win, the next year the Carniolan may win. They're so neck-to-neck close that I don't see a difference. And I don't know, my preference is the Carniolans that we produce far outdo Italians on honey production. But now, which brings me to another, if you want me to answer more questions about types of bees, Sherry, is that what you're thinking? And that is lesson, we have a lesson on that, don't we? Did you have that lesson number? I've got it. Lesson number 20, different types of bees. And I list the pros and cons. For example, I've got the Italian bee, and we talked about her, the Caucasian bee. Caucasian.
Is it a white bee?
No. I don't think so.
Where did they get a name like that?
Well, it's the scientific name. Like all of these have scientific name, like Apis mellifera ligustica, ligustica. That's the Italian name.
Yeah, that's Italian.
And Apis mellifera caucasica. How do you say that? I can't. Caucasica. People are probably...
Yeah, Caucasica.
Yeah.
Caucasica.
But, you know, the Caucasian, they have the longer proboscis and the longer tongue. And some people say these are hard to find or you can't get them in America. I don't know if that's true.
Huh.
I went on and looked around for them once when someone told me they couldn't find them, and I couldn't find them for sale either. So they may not be available, but they have the longer tongue so they can work certain flowers. Other honeybees can't. They're gentle. The poor trait of the Caucasian is they don't build up very fast in the spring. They're very heavy on propolis, and so they make the hive kind of sticky to work with, and they're robbers. They rob like the Italians do. Now let me talk about the Carniolan that I really like.
Carniolan.
We kind of pronounce that differently, don't we? Carniolan. They're explosive spring buildup. Now, it's a later buildup than the Italian, it comes into the explosion about late May, it seems like, where, you know, the Italians earlier, maybe the first part of May or early April or mid-April. Depends on where you live. But the Italians do, they build up sooner, but the carniolan builds up faster, but later. So by the time the Italian reaches its maximum, well, that's, the carniolan has done that too, but it's done it more suddenly. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? So their explosive build up in the spring. They're not so prone to rob either. They're very, very gentle, where Italians are very gentle. These are very, very gentle. They're good comb producers. Now, the poor trait is their explosive buildup can mean that they might swarm. If you're not on top of it, they can get too congested. Their honey production is thought to be a little bit less than the Italian. Now, we have the Russian, which is a hybrid, and Russian has some good traits. It's kind of from a region where they've been living with mites for, I think, like 100 and something years, so they're bred, so to speak, to be more mite resistant, and they're more winter hardy because they're a dark bee like a carniolan is too. Poor qualities are they produce lots of propolis, which may not be a bad thing. We found that bees that produce a lot of propolis are good, strong hives. They use the propolis, I believe, to keep their hive clean and kill mites and things by either, you know, they propolize mice, I'm saying M-I-C-E. You know, if a mouse gets in there, they can kill it and they'll cover it with propolis.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll embalm it. But so they might do this with the little mites, the Vora mites, too. And so it might help them keep a safer, cleaner hive. But they do have more propolis. They always seem to have some cells in the hive ready for swarming and some queen cells. And so they do. I've used them before. I didn't really like them, to be honest with you. They swarmed a lot. And they weren't real good honey producers for me. They're known as moderate honey producers.
So I've heard that
Pollinators probably need Russian more than anything else.
No, pollinators need Italian.
Why is that?
Honey buildup.
Why do pollinators need honey buildup?
I don't know. I think they just like their bees to get going, you know, faster and get so they can pollinate things. But they come to life kind of quicker in the spring than the darker Russian or carniolan does.
Oh, I see.
They get going a little faster in size and numbers, so they need the numbers to take into the pollination fields.
But if you're looking for honey, you need an Italian or a carniolan.
That's right, yeah. And the way I look at it, if you're in the north like we are here, you're going to be better off with the carniolan because they winter better. Everybody will tell you that. They just winter better. They take a smaller group into the winter, so they don't have to eat so much and starve to death. Now, the next bee that we have on the list is the buckfast bee. And one of the things Sherry got me for Christmas is a nice little DVD on Brother Adam, who invented the buckfast bee. And it's a hybrid bee. It has strong resistance to the tracheal mites, and it has very good hygienic behavior. Poor traits are that it can be defensive, a little more aggressive. But this is a neat little bee that Brother Adam, he was a monk, and he lived from 1898 to 1996, believe it or not. He spent his entire life, until he was 98 years old, eating a teaspoon of honey a day and working to make a better queen.
Well, that sounds just like you.
Yeah, maybe I'll look like him when I get old. he was a great fella and really did make a big impact on the queens. Although, you know, I was telling you, Sherry, at supper tonight, I took you out to eat for your birthday, you know.
Amen.
And we were talking about him, and, you know, when he passed on, it seemed like his buckfast, in my opinion, just didn't keep up without him at the helm. And there are some people still selling the buckfast hybrid queen, but boy, sure not in the way that you would think for all the work he did for the buckfast bee. And I think it's because it's hard to keep the lineage, the progeny, exactly the way he wanted it, because, you know, you grab a buckfast, and if you don't inseminate with other buckfast hives, then it's going to get mixed in with other breeds. The Minnesota Hygienic Queen is an interesting queen. It's this is a queen by Dr. Marla Spivak of the University of Minnesota. Could be pronounced Spivak. I'm not sure. but she has done a great work with Gary Reuter. I interviewed him last week. And they basically, now you can get hygienic bees from any race. Now, they simply just stayed with the Italian bee. So people are confused. They think the Minnesota Hygienic Queen is unique rather than an Italian. It is a separate race. That's not true. It's an Italian bee that's been bred for its good qualities on being hygienic. And so it basically falls in the same category as an Italian bee. Good honey producers, although some people tell me they're not. They're more able to resist American foul brood, and hopefully mites as well. So the poor qualities would be those that are associated with the Italian bee. They can rob, you know, things like that. And let's see, anybody else? That's probably the major ones that we have out there today that people talk about. So that's why we like to include Italians in the packages. It's a middle of the road, safe, gentle hive. A gentle queen that you'll get a good build up from Italian, good honey supply too.
So when someone needs to requeen their hive, how do they decide what sort of queen they should requeen with?
Well, I always tell people, you know, use the information that we give you and try to make a wise decision. Like I did, I thought, well, I need to have queens that can resist mites. So that's why I tried Russians. But then I realized, it doesn't really get rid of all the mites, and I don't like their other poor qualities now.
They're meaner, aren't they?
Yeah, they were they're a lot more aggressive. And if you're gonna have a Russian bee, you're gonna have to just put up with a lot more aggression than you are if you were using, say, a Carniolan, by far. Now Italians are thought to be gentle, and they are. And especially the queens that we provide in our packages, we feel are very gentle. And we were told again last year by all of our customers that they were extremely gentle. A lot of our customers saying they didn't wear hat and veils. But the Italian is still a bee that if you do something catastrophic to the hive, they get kind of agitated. Where
you can make them mean.
And you should be able to. I was telling a customer today that, you know, bees ought to be defensive when you go doing something catastrophic to their home. I don't care what race they are. They ought to get mad about that and sting you. That would be a good thing, you know. But I've noticed with Italians, they're gentle, but they can be pushed over the edge a lot quicker than a Carniolan can. I've dropped frames of Carniolans and never bother me. They just kind of get back on the frame and carry on.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. So what kind of queens are we raising?
Mutts. Heinz 57 varieties.
Heinz 57 hybrids.
Yeah, there you go.
Illinois Heinz 57 hybrids.
Oh, boy. And I'm proud of it, too, because I feel that we have incorporated survival stock from some of the swarms that me and your dad have taken out of barns and places. And we also incorporate a great variety of bees from different places to increase the genetic pool that makes a better laying queen. So it's like I've always said, you know, if you go too hybrid, you can actually start having problems. And so you want to get back to a diversity of genes in the gene pool, hoping that the bad genes are the ones dying out, not the good ones. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, mostly we introduce the larger amount of Carniolans into the bee yards, but they're probably hanging out with some Italians and some Russians and some ones that have feral bees that have been, the genetic pool has been around, you know, before the mites came. So just some good mutts.
So what would be the purpose of raising Illinois queens?
Well, if you can get a queen that's accustomed to your climate, your pest, your diseases, your temperature, you know, things like that, and then she's just going to be more apt to adapt and live in that environment and be ready for it. That's my opinion. That can be argued because you and I can move to Alaska and we'll be okay. We'll just have to put a bigger coat on. You know, our bodies are the same as people in Alaska. They may be more used to it, but that's only because they have gotten used to it by living there, which a queen really can't do. Shouldn't live that long, you know. And if you move to the south. So it's not so much that genetically they're more apt to live in the north and the south because they were born there. That's not really true. But it's more that they have a reputation of being able to survive that climate, whereas if you pull them out of the south, they have a reputation of being able to live in the south. It just makes sense to us to raise a bee, breed from the hives that are in the area where you're going to raise hives. Okay, Sherry, well, I think that's all we have time for today. And we'll be back on another podcast tomorrow or Monday, whatever. I guess hopefully this will air Sunday. So we'll probably be back on the air Monday to say hello to our friends and folks again. And we're continuing some of our experiments, our winter experiments in various ways. I'm doing a lot of work now with moisture in the hive. And that's a big killer in the north is too much condensation in the hive. Not the cold, but too much moisture. And so we're conducting a lot of experiments with that this year. And that's been fun, too. So we'll keep you apprised of that. I think that's going to be my next beekeeping lesson is about wrapping hives. So that'll be fun. We want to thank you today for joining us here at Studio B Live. Tell your friends about us. Tell your good beekeeping buddies around the block that we're down here in central Illinois or up here, wherever you live, and we're helping people become beekeepers. We're manufacturing beekeeping equipment, selling nooks, packages, and queens to help you enjoy what we enjoy, the hobby of keeping bees. Okay, Sherry, tell the folks where they can call and access all of our wonderful information.
Okay, you can call us here at 217-427-2678. If you want to get us on the web, we're at honeybeesonline.com. You can find just about everything that you want on there, except for packaged bees. You need to call me and talk to me personally about packaged bees. And anything that you don't see on the website, you know what? You can ask me about that, too, because we can get just about anything. We're still working on that website and hope to have it completely done pretty soon so that everything you can possibly ever imagine will be on that website. But meanwhile, you can just call us. You can get us on eBay, ebay.com, and do a search for us. We do appreciate, though, once you see what you want on eBay, to give us a call and order directly from us, because we do pay a lot of eBay fees and those kinds of things, so it's always better if you can just give us a call back over here at the house. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, and remember to behave yourself.